We're back with more Day 3 draft coverage on Sports Radio 104.3 The Score. Here's Rami Makhlouf.
Hour 3 for me on Day 3 NFL draft coverage. Third and final hour before I make way for Judson Richards, who will take over these airwaves and take the lead on the draft coverage, followed by Cubs at Dodgers from L.A. Pregame begins at 5:40, first pitch at 6:15. The only local broadcast of tonight's game can be heard on 104.3 The Score and the Northwestern Medicine Cubs Radio Network. We welcome your calls, your texts, 312-644-6767. We're efforting Trevor Maddich right now, and then we'll get back to those texts, those calls, and I will check in with Judson Richards, get his thoughts on the draft before I get out of here at 3 o'clock. Right now, let me hit refresh here just to make sure I'm not giving you false information. Nope. Right now, the Tennessee Titans are on the clock with the 25th pick in the fifth round, number 165 overall. And then the Chicago Bears will be on the clock for their fifth round pick at number 166 overall. We will let you know who they take whenever that pick should happen. Just one pick today. That was Malik Muhammad, the cornerback out of Texas, taken in the fourth round. That was after a trade between the Bears and the Panthers to swap fourth and fifth round picks. The Bears moved up five spots in the fourth round and moved back a few spots in the fifth round, which is the pick that they are about to use any minute now in the fifth round. Again, 312-644-6767 if you want to get in on the conversation. David Dykstra, my producer, back in the studio. Do we have Trevor Maddich yet, or should I go ahead and read a few of these Bears fans texts here? Okay, I'll read some texts. This one from the 404. Our Bears know what they need and have better than we do. They feel their edges are better than what's draftable. Remember what Mo said about last year. Trust the front office and coaching staff. I'm sorry. I can't. Man, this whole in polls we trust thing and let polls cook, I don't know how y'all got here in 1 year. We had 3 years of nothing but losing. They twice set and matched the record for most consecutive losses under the tenure of Ryan Poles and then head coach Matt Eberflus. Last year earned a little bit of credibility and trust back with me, but this like implicit, unquestioned trust of Ryan Poles is wild to me. I can't get there. I'm sorry. I just cannot get there. The Bears are now on the clock for that 166th pick in the fifth round of the draft. We'll let you know who they take in just 1 second. But joining me now on the guest hotline, NFL and college football analyst for ESPN and NBC Sports. Pleasure to welcome in Trevor Maddich. Trevor, how are you this afternoon, my friend?
Rami, I'm great. How about you, man?
Good. Would you agree with what I'm saying? I don't expect you to, like, you know, bash Ryan Poles, but to have, like, unquestioned implicit trust in him after the first 3 years of his tenure, does that seem as crazy to you as it does to me that we should just sit back, let Poles cook, and not question anything that he does?
Well, I think both are true, Rami. I think let Poles cook. I think he's done some good things. I like some of the things he's done, for example, with free agents and trades this offseason heading into the draft, but we should always question and we should always make him prove his mettle at his job. And I think he's done some good things in the draft. I like what they've done in the offseason overall so far to improve the team, but you absolutely should be questioning.
What did you think of the first round pick of Dylan Thienemann? Because that's the one I'm not questioning or wondering, like, what was the thought process behind that? I love the pick of Dylan Thienemann, and I think that addressed a major need for this defense that was created by letting both their safeties walk in free agency.
Yeah, Rami, I think most people thought that he wouldn't have been available at pick number 25, and this is a good pick, and it also matches up well with Kobe Bryant, who they brought in from the Seahawks because of versatility. I mean, Thienemann makes them faster right off the bat. He ran a 4.35 40 at the combine, and that's at about 200 pounds. So he's not a small guy at all. But at Oregon, he was able to move all over the field and do really anything you would want a defensive back to do. He could play free safety because he had the instincts and the range. He could play strong safety in the box, even though he wasn't a big hammer as a tackler. He was a willing tackler, and he's a good enough cover guy that he was able to match up with receivers. Now, he's not a corner, but he's a better cover safety in college than most safeties were. So that gives the Bears the ability to move him around into different spots depending on what scheme and what matchups they want to do. And then Bryant can do the same thing. Bryant's not as fast, but Bryant has a Super Bowl ring and a lot of experience. And I think Thieneman coming in as a young guy to develop with Bryant next to him gives them a lot of versatility. I thought it was a very good pick.
Was there an edge rusher or a defensive lineman of any kind there at number 25 that you would have considered over Thieneman? Because that was my whole stance was, if there isn't a day one NFL ready edge rusher at 25, I'm okay with them going for the safety. And I didn't see that available on the board at 25. Did you?
No, I did not. And Robbie, that really is the question that Bears fans should be asking as they're evaluating Poles' performance here in this draft, because obviously edge rusher and then also interior defensive line production, those were major needs for the Bears coming into this offseason. But you don't want to reach for a guy just because you need him. If you do that, you fill positions of need, but then you end up bypassing better players, and over time, you end up building an overall roster that's less talented than it would have been. And so when you look at the next defensive lineman taken in the first round, the only one taken after Thieneman was taken at 25, it's Peter Woods at 29. And he's a defensive tackle out of Clemson, and he's a real question mark. I mean, 2 years ago, he was unstoppable. Last year, he was hard to find. Then when you look at the rest of the rounds, only in the third round was a defensive lineman taken within about eight picks after the Bears pick. So if you go to the third round, they picked the tight end, Sam Roush, which I also thought was a very interesting pick. I kind of like it. The next pick was Romello Height out of Texas Tech. Now, Height is an edge rusher, did a lot of good things at Texas Tech, but he weighs 239 pounds and he gets pushed around in the run. So unless you want to make him a pure edge rusher that long offensive tackles in the NFL can pretty much stymie, you don't want to take that guy if you're the Bears when you've got Roush available to you and will give you better opportunities in terms of matchups and things like that. Then down below that, you had a Missouri defensive tackle who was actually taken about 40 spots above what his overall draft rank was. So it's not like the Bears had, okay, we have a really good option here at this pick for defensive line, or we go a different position. There was no good option at defensive line inside or outside for the Bears to take at the moment that they picked in each of these rounds.
Just want to keep folks updated. First of all, talking Trevor Maddich of ESPN and NBC, my guest here on Day 3 draft coverage. Rami Makhlouf, your host on 104.3 The Score. The Bears pick is in the fifth round, number 166. They go with Keyshawn Elliott, linebacker out of Arizona State. I'll give you all the full rundown, the scouting report, strengths, weaknesses on Keyshawn Elliott coming up here in just a second. But you moved on to that second round pick in Logan Jones, the center out of Iowa. Do you think he's NFL ready? The knock on him, if there is one, is he doesn't have maybe enough bulk on him for the NFL level. Do you think he comes in and immediately competes for that starting spot at center with Garrett Bradbury, or maybe even knocks him off the top of that depth chart?
I think he'll compete. Really, he shares a lot in common with Bradbury. They're both around 300 pounds, both of them very athletic. Both of them can get pushed around by bigger, stronger nose guards. And so I think that Jones is going to need to add some functional strength. But at Iowa, he was a four-year starter. He was a team captain, and that says a lot when you're a team captain at Iowa. And he's incredibly athletic. And so I don't know that he's the road grader that will go straight ahead and pound a nose guard off the ball. But I think he's good enough to compete with what they've got. And if nothing else, sit a year behind Bradbury, because Bradbury's only got 1 year left on his contract after they brought him in a trade. And then maybe after a year in an NFL weight room, Logan Jones might be ready to take over.
It sounds like, and Logan Jones even referenced this in his Zoom conference call with the media here in Chicago, and especially in the run game and the zone run scheme that Ben Johnson likes to run, that Logan Jones is a great fit for Ben Johnson's offense. Do you think that's what was most appealing to the Bears about Logan Jones at the center position?
Yeah, well, that zone offense, I know your audience is a very sophisticated audience mm-hmm. when it comes to football and schemes, Rami. But for those listening that are wondering what that means is if the offensive line will take a step to the side and then they'll match up on the defensive lineman or linebacker in front of them and just push them and push them farther than they want to go. The running back then parallels that step to the side, and when he sees a gap open up, he bursts through it. And so in this scheme, in those zone schemes, especially outside zones, Jones won't have to be a straight-ahead road grader. He just needs to stay matched up and fitted up on that defensive lineman. And here's another thing about that. When offensive linemen get in trouble in zone schemes, it's typically because they get behind the defensive lineman, and now they're pushing from the inside. So now the defensive lineman's body is in one hole, and the offensive lineman's body is pushing him, but it's occupying another hole. So there's two guys that are taking up space. Logan Jones isn't athletic enough that he can get right in front of that defensive lineman and mirror him as he's pushing him to the side and give the back two ways to go. So this is what you're talking about, Rami, when it comes to a scheme fit for what the Bears like to do.
Talking with Trevor Maddich, ESPN and NBC college and NFL analyst here. Day three draft coverage on the Score. Third round, they go with Sam Roush, the tight end out of Stanford. Speaking of fits, how do you think he fits in Ben Johnson's offense? And it's funny, the comp that I've heard is Cole Kmet, who is obviously one of the other guys that will be in that tight end room. Do you see the fit the same way that you do with Logan Jones and Ben Johnson's offense? And do you think that comp is accurate, that he could be a Cole Kmet type at the NFL level?
I think that's a fair comp, and I think it's another smart choice from a fit standpoint for the scheme. The Bears like to run a lot of two and three tight end formations, and when you've got Colston Loveland as an elite receiving tight end, you've got Cole Kmet, all of a sudden here comes Sam Roush. And you can, you know, people will talk about the negatives of Roush. He's got relatively short arms. I mean, 30 and a half inch arms from a guy who's 6'6". But he's almost 270 pounds. And so he is a presence in the running game. And when it comes to short arms in the running game, by the way, if your short arms, if you get him inside onto the chest of the guy you're trying to block and he's got longer arms than you, his arms are outside taking up a little bit of space as he's coming around you. So you can overcome that if you're smart about your technique. But the other thing that's interesting to me about Roush is that he is not a deep receiving threat. He's not a big receiving threat tight end, but he led all ACC tight ends in receiving yards last year and yards after catch last year. Now, his average air yards per catch was about 5.5 yards downfield. Then he'd turn around and get another 4 or 5 yards after the catch, which makes him a perfect outlet for moving the chains. And that's important because when you're facing the Bears offense, when you've got Colston Loveland on the field and Kmet too, now if you put a third one in there and it's Roush, who are you going to have cover that guy? And plus, whoever's there is not going to be 6'6", most likely. So if you need 4, 5, 6, 7 yards to move the chains, your best cover people that would be covering big tight ends are not going to be focused on Roush. So that's an interesting scheme fit and matchup fit. I'm excited to see how they're going to use him.
Xavion Thomas taken in the third round, and the thing everyone talks about with Xavion Thomas is the speed. The dude can absolutely fly and has the playmaking ability. What are the aspects of his game that maybe he needs to work on to translate to the NFL and fine tune?
Well, pretty much everything besides speed. The way LSU used him was not as a classic receiver. You know, the first receiver taken in this draft was Carnell Tate out of Ohio State, went to the Titans at number 4. Tate ran a 4.53 40. 4.53, and he was the first receiver taken in the draft. And he's not particularly big. He's 6'2", about 190. And the reason he was taken that high was because he's such a precise route runner. And he would separate using technique with his routes more so than just pure bursts. Well, because of the way he was used, Thomas is not a guy that really developed a full route tree. He's a guy that has to win with his burst and with his speed. And they will use him, at least in the beginning, if not only in the kicking game, as a returner, also as a guy that's just a gadget player. And with the ball in his hands, because of his speed, 4.28 in the 40 at the combine, which is one of the fastest 40s all time at the combine, they'll be able to game plan ways to get him into space and get him the ball in a way that he could just take off and just be a crazy, you know, unguided missile, basically. The interesting thing is that they brought in a free agent from the Lions, Khalif Raymond, who's about that same guy. I mean, he ran in the 4.3s in the combine, Raymond did, and he's only about 5'9". He's a little guy. He's not a downfield threat. But all of a sudden, they've got two gadget-style receivers that will be in the mix to compete for that number three spot.
Trevor, last one for you. We went around the NFC North last segment, and I asked all three correspondents from Minnesota, Detroit, Green Bay to stack the North for me. I'm curious, from more of a national perspective, how would you stack the division right now, given how last season played out and how the offseason thus far has played out?
I like the Bears a lot. I mean, they won the division last year. And Caleb Williams, the quarterback, is only going to get better. They've already made the team better in a lot of ways. And I think arguably you could say that in a division that is going to be packed at the top, I would still put the Bears with an edge. I like Detroit after them. I'm still not fully sold on Love at quarterback for Green Bay. And Green Bay secondary, I think, leaves a lot to be desired as well. In a division with three really good quarterbacks, or two really good quarterbacks that have to face them, I still put the Vikings at the bottom because I just don't trust J.J. McCarthy. And the thing about J.J. McCarthy, a quarterback, first-round draft choice a couple of years ago, I guess, now out of Michigan, the thing that he has to answer, which is kind of unfair, is whether or not he became a first-round draft choice for the Vikings because he earned it, or because his play caller for Michigan, because of sign stealing, allegedly, already knew what the defense was going to be and put him in an unfair advantage position. And he's got to stay healthy, McCarthy does, and he has to prove that he is that quarterback and wasn't just the beneficiary of a sign stealing scandal. And that's unfair for the kid because that's not his fault. But until Green Bay really gets the quarterback situation squared away, and it might not be J.J. McCarthy, right? We already know that.
Right.
But I would put them at the bottom.
That is Trevor Maddich, NFL and college football analyst on ESPN and NBC Sports. Follow him on Twitter for football knowledge at @TMaddich, and our guest for the last few minutes here on Day 3 NFL draft coverage. Trevor, great, great stuff, man. Really appreciate the time and the insight.
Rami, you rock. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. You rock, my friend. That was great, great stuff. I love, I was saying it earlier, like nerdy draft stuff, all the draft isms and draft cliches and all the breakdowns and scouting reports. And guess what? I got one for you next. As the Bears, if you're just tuning in and missed me saying this a few minutes ago, selected Keyshawn Elliott, Arizona State linebacker, in the fifth round at number 166. I'll tell you everything you need to know about Keyshawn Elliott and get back to your calls, your texts, your thoughts on the Bears and what they've done thus far in the draft at 312-644-6767. All that coming up next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
We're back with more Day 3 draft coverage on Sports Radio 104.3 The Score. Here's Rami Makhlouf.
That's me with you for another 30 minutes or so before Judson Richards takes over the draft day coverage and takes you right to Cubs baseball as they take on the Dodgers. 5:40 pregame, only place to hear it is on your home for Cubs baseball, And that's Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 FM, The Score. The Bears made their fifth-round pick while I was talking with Trevor Maddich of ESPN and NBC. Thanks again to him. If you want to join the conversation, 312-644-6767. Give me your thoughts on what the Bears have done here in the first two-plus days of the NFL draft. You know what? Let me just give you the full rundown. You probably know days one and two were Dylan Thienemann, Logan Jones, Sam Roush, and Xavion Thomas, the safety, center, tight end, and wide receiver, respectively. And we were all waiting for them to go defensive line. I don't know how much it would matter at this point if they did, given that it would be in the fourth or fifth round, and you're usually not getting day one impact from fourth, fifth round picks and later. And last year's draft class, even as good as that one was for the Bears, is evidence of that. You didn't hear you do have Kyle Manungai, but that is the very much the exception to the rule. You didn't hear the names of those other guys taken in the fourth round or later last year. So far today, they took Malik Muhammad, the cornerback out of Texas, in the fourth round. That was after swapping fourth and fifth round picks with Carolina to move up five spots and snag Muhammad, the cornerback out of Texas. And while I was talking with Trevor Maddich, as I said, they went ahead and drafted Keyshawn Elliott, linebacker out of Arizona State. And the rundown on Keyshawn Elliott, this is from Dane Brugler's The Beast Draft Guide. First of all, he is 6'1", 3/4", 231 pounds. At his pro day, he ran a 4.58 40, which that's speedy for a linebacker. Strengths, passes eye test with adequate arm length and firm muscle in his upper and lower halves. Mirrors well at the line with a feel for sifting and driving. Plays with confidence to fly to the football. Models his game after Fred Warner. That's encouraging. Enough speed to stay within arm's length of tight ends on seams and running backs on wheels. Extra coach on the field, communicates all calls to his teammates. Flashes contact, balance, and pop in his hands to penetrate pocket as a blitzer. Described as an A-plus kid with grown man maturity by his coaching staff. Sophomore team captain at New Mexico State, voted to the team's Pat Tillman Leadership Council both of his seasons at Arizona State. Already a professional in terms of his work ethic and study habits. One NFL scout said he wears out the coaches in the best way possible. Weaknesses, average twitch athlete, lacks suddenness, getting off blocks, climbers can take him for a ride, doesn't always feel blockers in his peripherals, and gets trapped inside. Over pursuit leads to missed tackles, and they say see his 2025 Utah tape, limited in coverage, and struggles to find the right eye balance. Tardy route recognition leaves him late to drive on routes, and was hoping to see more from him on special teams coverages. So that's your full rundown on the fifth round pick for the Bears, Keyshawn Elliott, linebacker out of Arizona State. 312-644-6767 if you want to get in on the conversation. I was saying before I brought Trevor Maddich on, I don't understand the "in polls we trust" and the "let polls cook" folks out there. And yeah, last year was good, man. Last year was good. The previous 3 years, not so much. Like I feel like I'm pointing out the obvious, but at the same time, I feel like some people forget that, or it's not that obvious to them. They set the record twice for the longest losing streaks in Bears history. And I don't think I need to tell you, Bears history is lengthy. They've been around for a while, and they reached new lows under Ryan Poles as the general manager. And you could chalk up year one as a rebuild, a tear down and a rebuild and starting the whole thing over. You shouldn't look that bad in years two and three. And we can put a lot of that on Matt Eberflus, but Ryan Poles hired Matt Eberflus, and Ryan Poles put together those rosters. Year three was great. Big step forward in year three, but it wasn't enough for me to go from being, you know, on the fence as to whether or not this guy should still have his job, to just having the implicit trust and saying, "In Poles we trust," and let Poles cook. This texter from the 630 heard me say that and said, "Hey, Rami, you need to get some real perspective. The first round of the draft is critical. Ryan Poles has absolutely dominated with his first round picks. Do you have any clue what the Bears have traded in the first round, or drafted, excuse me, in the first round since drafting Urlacher in 98? Benson, McNown, McClellan, how many do I need to list? You are out here trashing polls for not grabbing the 13th D end, yet he's coming off an absolute renaissance of a season where literally all his number one picks are producing. Yeah, man, that was a great season and a great draft class for Ryan Poles. Me saying I don't have implicit trust in him or saying I'm not just going to sit back and let Poles cook does not discount or discredit what he did last year. Not at all. It's just not enough for me to have like unquestioned loyalty and trust for the dude. That's all I'm saying. And my problem is, you must have tuned in a little later in the show, and that's fine. People are always coming and going. You must have missed earlier in the show when I said it's not just about this draft. You said I'm bashing him for not taking the 13th DN overall. That's not what I'm bashing him for. If Ryan Poles and his scouting staff didn't see depth or a lot of quality players or just guys who fit Dennis Allen's system to come in and address the need that they had across the defensive line. It's not just about the DNs, across the defensive line. If that's what his board was telling him about the defensive line position in the draft, then maybe he should have been a little more assertive and a little more aggressive in going after somebody to address that or some bodies to address that in free agency instead of letting Andrew Billings walk. Who was one of the guys who actually was a good run stuffer for this football team last year. So that this draft doesn't exist in a vacuum. This draft exists in the context of the entirety of the offseason and the first wave of free agency and the draft now, for the most part, have come and gone with no real addressing of the defensive line. I did not think that would even be a possibility sitting here on April 25th. 317 says, I have never trusted Poles since the day he came in, ripped the team apart, and got rid of Roquan just because he wanted his money, which had cap room, and the Ravens had no problem paying the tackle machine. Yeah, I had a problem with that too. The Roquan move in particular, but also just like and this, we don't need to go too far down this road. I didn't think that whole team needed to be torn down and started all over. I just did, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But we're here now, and I'm more concerned about what's going on now. And what's going on now is a bad defense. A bad defense. 27th against the run last year. 31st in pressure rate last year. And he's going to go to a podium and tell me that he has faith in Deo Odengbo and Shamar Turner. Now, Austin Booker and Montez Sweat, they came on somewhat at the end of last year, and I like both of those guys. I'm not even saying you have to go and get somebody who would knock those guys off the top of the depth chart. Would be great if you did. Would be great if you did, if you could do that. But even if you got somebody who would be, you know, your third or fourth pass rusher and be productive in doing that, be better than the people that you currently have as your third and fourth pass rushers, that would make Sweat and Booker that much better if you had a more potent rotation and could have fresher legs out there on the field in terms of who your edge rushers were. 312-644-6767. We got Jerry on the line. Jerry wants to talk about what the Bears have done so far in the draft. What you got, Jerry?
How you doing, sir? So, yes, good. I completely agree that they should have prioritized the defensive line, and the day two offensive picks were head-scratchers. I mean, they're not head-scratchers. I get Logan Jones. I think they were a little higher on him than I expected, but, I mean, if they think he's Tyler Linderbaum, then I mean, hard to fault them. And I think they would have potentially gotten – I just think the run happened and they missed out on the early defensive end and D-line run in the second. I think they probably would have went with Gabe Jackus from Illinois. Patriots scooped in and stole him from him. But what I will say about the – I understand not having complete faith in Ryan Poles. He's 1-for-3 in his 3 years. But Ben Johnson is one for one in his 1 year. And all of the offensive picks, like I also didn't like the receiver from LSU pick that much, but then that was just knee-jerk because I came to the realization that, like, Ben Johnson's the one calling the shots. And if he's going to put him in position to succeed, I think he's going to be a potential – I mean, he's going to make contributions. He – every single pick from last year's class, offensive player, turned into something special down the stretch. I mean, Luke Newman even came in, and when Jonah Jackson got hurt against Pittsburgh, he held his own. I'm just – I understand not having full faith in Ryan Poles, but I do have – it's hard to not have full faith in Ben Johnson and – who am I to say that I didn't love the day two picks? You know, I mean, the third tight end was kind of like, what the hell? But who am I to say that this third tight end isn't going to be a steal? He was one of the better tight ends in this class. So yeah, I'm all in on Ben Johnson, and I trust his picks is where I'm at.
I do too. And to that end, with Ben Johnson, and this isn't to take anything away from Ryan Poles. With Ben Johnson, I trust Ryan Poles to draft offensive players and to build an offense. And again, that's not a knock on Ryan Poles. I saw a texter say, I think I figured out my system. If I like the pick, it was a Ben Johnson pick. If I don't, it was a Ryan Poles pick. And that's not what I'm saying. Good GMs, they work in conjunction. They work hand in hand with their head coach, and in this case, an offensive-minded head coach, to say, hey, what do you need? What is it that you're looking for that fits in your offense and in your system? And then you send your scouts out there to go and find those guys with those traits and to bring them in. And I thought the two did a very good job of that last season. Obviously, they did a very good job of that last season in free agency, in the draft, and built what was a top 10 offense. I don't have that same faith in Ben Johnson, you know, advising Ryan Poles or working with Ryan Poles on building a defense. And also, you can't build a defense without building a defense. You know what I mean? Like, you have to go and do something. You have to go and add something to turn a bad defense into a good defense. And they haven't done that. They have not done that. And that, like, he's never built a good defense. He had a good defense when he walked in the door, did Ryan Poles. And then, as the texter said a few minutes ago, sent all those guys packing. Traded Khalil Mack. Traded Roquan Smith because he didn't want to pay him. So I'm very confident in the Bears' ability to evaluate, assess, and go and get offensive players. I can't say the same about defense. Texter just said from the 815, that's what Dennis Allen is there for. Geez. Okay. When are they going to let Dennis Allen cook? Is he even in the draft room? Did they send him to get the pizzas? Like, what did they ask Dennis Allen what he wants on defense and then just ignore him and not do anything on that side of the ball? Clowney and Cam Jordan are both available. Either would be a material upgrade. Texter says, yeah, that'd be good. 2-year whiff on addressing the D-line through either free agency or draft. One word, indefensible. I got to get to a break, and I want to talk with Judson Richards, who's going to take over these airwaves. We'll have a little crosstalk with Judson. Maybe he can calm me down and get us ready for the next 2+ hours as he mans day 3 of NFL draft coverage. Rami Makhlouf with you, and back right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
We're back with more day 3 draft coverage on Sports Radio 104.3 The Score. Here's Rami Makhlouf.
Final segment for me on your day 3 NFL draft coverage here on The Score. But don't fear not. Fear not. The draft coverage continues after me. It's Judson Richards from 3 until 5:40. And draft coverage will be followed by Cubs at Dodgers from L.A. pregame at 5:40. First pitch at 6:15. The only local broadcast of tonight's game is going to be heard right here on 104.3 The Score and the Northwestern Medicine Cubs Radio Network, and there is that guy, Judson Richards, who's going to take over these airwaves in just a few minutes. Judson, how are you this afternoon, my friend?
Rami, do you think they even invited Dennis Allen to be part of the draft, at least the first couple of days? You're like, hey, you hang out till Saturday.
I don't know. Like, and if they did, do you think Dennis Allen was just looking at the draft board and going, nah, I'm good. There's nothing there that I can work with. I'm good. You guys, go ahead and keep on adding to the offense. I don't need anything over here. I'm fine. Give me a slice of pizza and a Coke, and I'll be all right.
You know, Rob, I'm looking at the text line, 312-644-6767. This number from the 630 is telling you to take a chill pill, and then says, Odangbo and Turner, that's Shamar Turner's last year second rounder, are basically additions. They were injured the whole season last year. Well, no, they weren't. They weren't, and when they were out there, they were not overly impactful. You know, this whole thing about just going with who you've got because you're getting a number of players back who were injured, to me, feels far-fetched. It's why we spend so much time talking about edge rushers, pass rushers, or defensive line on this team.
Yeah, Deo Odangbo, we saw him for a while. Like, we got a taste of Deo Odangbo, and quite frankly, I wasn't that high on that signing when they made it, nor was I on Grady Jarrett. But Grady Jarrett brings, like, intangibles, leadership, good locker room guy. With Deo Odangbo, they were just kind of going, hey, trust us. You know what I mean? Like, this guy has he hasn't really produced too much in Indy, but he has the tools. He has the attributes that Ryan Poles and Dennis Allen like. Just trust us. He's going to be even better here than he was in Indy. And then he wasn't for the time that we saw him. And where he was most effective was when they would bump him down inside. I am intrigued by Shamar Turner and the little bit of a glimpse that we saw of him coming off the edge. And he started inside, and then they sort of bumped him outside. But I need more known commodities there for a team that I expect to take a leap, Judson, and be even more of a contender this year than what they were last year. That's what I'm looking for.
It's also a position that comes in waves, so you need bodies and you need more bodies. It's also a position that you know that somewhere someone is going to get hurt as well. And one thing about Dennis Allen is, and the big difference between Dennis and Ben Johnson is Ben made it through pretty healthily. I know Roma Dunze missed quite a bit of time, but if you look at that defense, like, they spent a ton on offense. What they did have on defense, a lot of it was hurt, from Jalen Johnson to Kyler Gordon to the names we just mentioned. So there were a lot of injuries that Dennis Allen was working through. They were able to get the takeaways. Those guys are gone, right? As we talked about Thursday night, Rami, 2/3 of those guys were gone. Like, your leading interceptor in the NFL, Kevin Byard, is gone. Nashawn Wright, who is a walking takeaway, they let him walk for about $6 million a year. Tremaine Edmonds, I think, had 4 interceptions. Like, how they were even close to a bend but don't break a defense, that is virtually gone. Like, you cannot rely on takeaways. Of course, you coach him up. That's why Al Harris is awesome. But you just do not rely on that being your plan going into a season, because you got to be opportunistic. You don't know if you're going to get that opportunity. It just... it's a head-scratching, it's a puzzling draft that they've had in 2026. You can't call it bad. We don't know. Xavion Thomas, to me, is the most head-scratching move of all. He may turn out to be phenomenal for the next 8 years. I don't know. But it is absolutely puzzling and head-scratching, because this defense was all out just bad last year if you look at the numbers.
Yeah, I think I don't have it in front of me. I deleted it from the notes. But I think the number was 19 of the 23 interceptions that they had last year and 23 of the 33 turnovers that they had last year have left in free agency. And that's kind of my issue, Judson. I don't know how much of the show you heard, is not necessarily the draft itself or the draft picks that they took. I like a lot of these guys, quite frankly, when just on their own, just like in a vacuum. I like Logan Jones. I like Sam Roush. I'm very intrigued by Xavion Thomas, but in the context, like, taking it out of the vacuum and just putting it in the context of the offseason as a whole, to get to April 25th without addressing the defensive line in any major way is maddening to me. And the only places where they really have added and addressed holes are the holes they created. They created a hole at safety by letting both those guys walk and filled those holes nicely with Kobe Bryant, and then the draft pick that they made on Thursday night of Dylan Thienemann. They let DJ Moore walk. That created a hole in terms of the depth at wide receiver, and so they go and get Xavion Thomas. They created a hole at linebacker by letting Tremaine Edmonds walk, and then they have to go and sign Devin Bush when there were already weaknesses and holes on this roster before any of that happened that you never addressed. And you're 100% right when you say, like, don't count on guys coming back from injuries, and especially don't count on day. Like, if you were telling me, if I'm in Green Bay and you're like, hey, Micah Parsons is coming back, I'm like, okay, that now we got something. Don't tell me, hey, Deo Odangbo's coming back. That doesn't do a lot for me.
Put your feet up, Dennis. Yeah, you're getting Odangbo back. And I will say this too, like, Drew Dalman left the Bears in a really, really tough
situation.
That wasn't
situation. On them. Yes.
No. And so they did trade DJ Moore to get a second round pick. I understand it seems high for a center, but if you have a great center, you know, really great way. Unfortunately, they had a great center, and now they had to go out and get one, and we'll have to groom one and get him ready. But the Bears, to me, like, pretty soon, in a couple years, Rami, they're going to have perhaps the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. They may also have the highest paid tight end in the NFL when they finally get to Colston Loveland's second contract. So you'd like to think that you're finding players on the defensive side of the ball that are affordable, right? Tremaine Edmonds was far too expensive for what you were getting out of him. As you're building this roster, knowing that you've got some major contracts down the road, it's just surprising to me that there isn't more being spent on the defensive line of the ball. Like, you know, that was a miracle season they had. The only reason why they got to the divisional round is because they somehow found a pass rush in the second half against the Packers to mount one of the greatest comebacks we've ever seen. Like, that should have sent them in the offseason being like, oh yeah, this whole disrupt the quarterback thing could really work out for us if we could figure it out.
What's coming up on the show as you take over day three draft coverage here on The Score?
Well, we're going to go to Iowa. We're going to go to Iowa City and learn more about Logan Jones coming up at 4 o'clock. We will talk to Herb Howard from the Bigs out there at Halas Hall a couple times throughout the show. But really, I am here just like you are here to hear from Score listeners, to hear from Bears fans as well. And Rami, so we'll open the phone lines, 312-644-6767. You want to talk about it, I'll get to you. Rami, so let me set the question before we say goodbye. Do Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles deserve the benefit of the doubt? We will hit that coming up next as well.
Do the Cubs make an 11 in a row today?
They absolutely do.
All right.
Yeah. Sasaki's got an over 6 ERA, Rami.
What? I didn't even realize that. Really?
I Googled it shortly ago.
Okay. That's Justin Richards. He's going to take over things from here on out, right up to Cubs baseball with our day three draft coverage. Lots of thanks to pass out here at the end of this show. Thanks to Chris Emma, who, of course, covers the Bears for us here at The Score. Brendan Shabath from 97.1 The Ticket. Jacob Westendorf from SI.com covering the Packers. Matthew Collar from Purple Insider as we took our whip around the NFC North and then the national perspective from Trevor Maddich, NFL and college football analyst on ESPN and NBC Sports. And thanks to David Dykstra, his maiden voyage here on The Score. First show David worked on The Score and did a bang up job. We had one error in the beginning, and that was me. That was on me. He threw a perfect game today, David Dykstra in the producer booth. And my thanks to him. Thanks to all of you for listening, contributing to the show this afternoon. Day three coverage of the draft right here on The Score. Till next time, Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening to Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.